hear the word of God this morning from Psalm 4. Psalm 4, which is found on page 845 in the church Bible. Once again, this is a psalm of David. And like so many of the psalms of David, this is a psalm that comes from a time when King David was being attacked by his enemies. Here we have this man of God. His enemies are attacking him. They're slandering him. They're lying about him. And so how does he respond to this? Well, let's listen to the psalm together. Psalm 4, we hear now the word of God. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Or some translations put it, seek after lies. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And this psalm which speaks of responding in prayer to an attack. Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear and heed the words this morning and to take refuge in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, as I mentioned earlier, Psalm 4 comes from a time when David was under attack. And we see a lot of psalms that are like that, don't we? There are a lot of psalms that are prayers which come from a time when David was being attacked by his adversaries. However, the kind of attack that is described here in Psalm 4 is a little bit different from what we hear about in some of the other psalms. The kind of attack that David is facing in this psalm does not appear, at least, to be primarily one of violence or a threat to his life. He doesn't speak here of his enemies coming after him to kill him, or of his life being in danger. Rather, the focus here is upon the words of his enemies. They are attacking him by way of their words. Remember, violence is not the only way in which people harm one another. In fact, it's not even the most common way in which people harm other people. In this sinful and fallen world, one of the most significant ways in which people attack and harm others is, of course, through their words. People can do a lot of harm through their words, can't they? Indeed, it's often those sorts of attacks that do the most harm and cause the most lasting pain. Often the pain that is caused by words can last a lot longer than the pain from any physical wound. It can be more damaging and more long-lasting. Words can do enormous harm. I think also of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord was certainly attacked physically and he was put to death upon the cross, but his enemies also attacked him with their words, didn't they? They slandered him. They mocked him. They used words to attack our Lord Jesus. We see this also in the history of the church. The enemy comes after God's people, not with just with physical violence, but with the power and violence of words. The enemy slanders and accuses the people of God. And so it is here with David in Psalm 4. He is being attacked by words. They are slandering him. They're lying about him. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, while there are some questions about translation, verse 2 seems to be about people speaking falsehood and lies. David is saying here of his enemies, how long will you love vain words and seek after lies? That's what he's experiencing here. And that's also, as I said, what our Lord experienced. That's what so many have experienced in this world. And of course, it's a terrible thing to be attacked in this way. Perhaps some of you have experienced some of this at one time or another. What does one do when something like this happens? What are we to do when we experience an attack of this kind? Well, let's look at how David responds in this prayer that he offers to the Lord. This is the prayer of a man who is experiencing this kind of attack. There are four things we're going to see as we go through this psalm together this morning. In the first place, we see that David calls upon the Lord. That's how it begins. In the midst of the attacks, David the psalmist calls upon the Lord. Verse 1, he says, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." So in the midst of his trouble, in the midst of all that he is facing, David looks to the Lord his God for help. And he calls upon his name in prayer. Now this may seem very straightforward. It may seem like such an obvious thing to do. However, how often do Christians forget this very thing? Especially right in the midst of it, right in the heat of these things, in the midst of it. Especially when we find ourselves in a situation when we feel the heat, where we feel perhaps that we are being slandered or being harmed in some way. When something like that happens, it's very easy, very natural to respond in other ways and to forget prayer. Maybe you learn that someone is doing something behind your back, or you learn that someone is gossiping about you or slandering you, attacking your good name, or even it's just a word that simply hurts. It's painful. What do you do in that moment? What is your response? Maybe your response is immediately, how can I get back at this person? How can I get back at them? They hurt me. What can I do to them? Or maybe your response is simply one of bitterness in your heart. You feel that bitterness and anger well up inside. Or perhaps the immediate response is, how can I defend myself in this situation? How can I correct this wrong that was done to me? What about prayer? What about prayer? When someone wrongs you, when something hurts in this way, do you pray? When that harmful word is spoken or that hurtful word is felt, do you respond by going to God in prayer? Do you take that matter and present it to God? That's what we see here with David in this psalm. He prays. He brings the matter before the Lord in prayer. So brothers and sisters, when trouble comes to you, do you immediately respond by bringing that situation to God? When you find yourself with a problem or a difficulty of some kind like this, a problem with another person, do you take that problem to the Lord? Or do you find ways not to pray or ways to postpone prayer? Do you simply focus on the problem rather than taking the problem to the Lord in prayer? Do you allow yourself to simply wallow in this, or do you get anxious? Remember, when you're in trouble, there is no better place to go than the throne of God. And there's nothing greater that we can do, nothing greater than we can do than approach the throne of our Heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who has established his covenant with us and declared his love for his people. This God who is all-powerful and all-wise and who works all things for the good of those who love him and who welcomes us to come to him. There's nothing greater that we can do than to come before his throne in prayer. Think of the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4 where he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Easy to be anxious when trouble comes. Easy to be anxious or upset. But Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Bring them to God, he says. Why would we not go to him? Think of those words. You remember the words of the hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Why would we not go to Him with our need? Why would we not call upon His name? That's what we see here in the psalm. As David faces this attack from his enemies, he goes before the Lord and calls upon His name. In the second place, you'll notice that David in the psalm addresses his adversaries. In verse 1, he addresses the Lord. But you'll notice then in verses 2 and 3, there's a sense in the psalm in which he is addressing his enemies. He asks, how long are they going to dishonor him? How long are they going to lie about him and speak wickedly about him? Don't they know God has set apart the godly for himself? God will hear him when he prayers. Don't they know this? Now, there are a couple of very important things to notice in what David is saying here. First of all, I want you to note well the seriousness of the sin that these people have committed against David. They've attacked David with their words. They've dishonored him. They've lied about him. They've slandered him. And it is presented here as being a great evil. Now, let me ask you, we've talked about this a little bit already, but do we see the seriousness of this? You know, I think we all recognize that harming someone physically is wrong, right? We know that to hurt someone physically is wrong. Since we were young, since we were children, what did we learn? We're not to hit people, right? We know we're not to hit people. We know it's wrong to harm somebody in that way. But what about attacking and harming someone with our words? Do we see the seriousness of that? Remember, the Bible takes a very sober view. It articulates a very serious view of our words. It shows us that they're very significant. And that the Bible also shows that great harm can be done by words. And that's why the Bible has so many warnings about our words, the words that we use, what we do with our tongue. Listen, for example, to James chapter 3. Do you remember what James said about the tongue, what he compared it to? He said the tongue is like a fire. It's like a fire. James 3, beginning in verse 6, he says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set upon our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and be tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Is that strong enough? Did James take a serious view here? Does the Word of God take a serious view of what we speak, our words? That's what he said about the tongue as he warns his readers about how they use it, that it's like a fire, that it's a world, it can be a world of unrighteousness, and it has the potential, the tongue has the potential to dispense deadly poison. Or listen to our Lord's warning in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Day of judgment, Jesus says, by your words you will be condemned. And he says, you will give account for every careless word. Or think of the Ten Commandments, the summary of the law. What do we hear in the Ninth Commandment? It says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And then also, remember the book of Proverbs. Does the book of Proverbs have anything to tell us about our words and what we say and our choice of words? It does in many places. Proverbs 21, 23, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity." You want to keep yourself from calamity? Proverbs is saying, guard your mouth and your tongue. Or Proverbs 12, 18, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords." Tongue is like a sword when it is used in that way. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. So one can bring healing by their words. One can use their words like a sword, a deadly weapon. We see it in Proverbs. We see it all over the Bible. The Word of God is clear, very clear, about the significance of our words, and that to slander or bear false witness or lie about a person is very serious sin. It is evil before God. It is sin to harm people in that way with our words. And the Bible condemns these things very clearly. Gossip, false witness, misuse of the tongue. It condemns words that are used in that deadly sort of way. However, despite the Bible's clear teaching and its clear warnings, I think it's safe to say that many, including many in the church, don't always treat this matter with the kind of seriousness that is warranted by the Word of God. We don't see just the seriousness of the words that we use and the potential for such evil and such harm. We don't see that just the sheer harm that can be done by them. People who would never dream of physically assaulting another person will nevertheless use words to attack another person. Just one example today. Think of the way that people today will speak of others when they're online, when they're on the internet. Think of what people will say on websites and even Christian websites or on social media. People will talk about other people in public forums like it's no big deal. We'll just use our laptop, people will get on their phone, and they'll say things online that they would never say if that person was in the room with them and speak to them face to face. People will talk about others, malign them, and they don't even think of the seriousness of what they are doing. Somehow attacking in that sort of way doesn't seem as significant to people, or attacking or speaking about another person on a website doesn't seem like such a big deal. And we can forget how powerful words are. We can forget the pain and sorrow that our words can cause. I mean, just think for a moment about the harm that can be done by a cruel word that is spoken to a spouse, or a cruel word that is spoken to a child. Or think about the regrets that so many people have over the words that they have spoken, words that they've said and that they can't, they've said them and they can't, you can't take them back, you can't undo it. The British preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones once said this: look back and think of the times when you were unhappy, and you will find that it was almost certainly due to something you said and which you regretted perhaps for days. Our words are powerful. They can be used in sinful and evil ways and can do such harm. And so, brothers and sisters, let's remember to be careful with them. If we say things that harm another person, if they harm another person's reputation, if it's gossip, that is sin. Attacking people with words is sin. That is sin against our neighbor, and it is sin against God. And the Bible treats it as a very serious matter. That's what we see here as David addresses his adversaries. What David says here shows the seriousness. It shows the evil of what they're doing. But there's another thing that David shows us here as he responds to his adversaries. Notice he also expresses to them his confidence and trust in the Lord his God. Listen to what he says again in verse 3. He says, "Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him." What's he saying? He's saying to his enemies, look, I belong to God. I belong to the living God. I've been set apart by the Lord. And he is going to hear my prayer when I call to him. He tells his enemies, his adversaries here, he speaks of his absolute trust and confidence in the Lord his God. Yes, you're attacking. Yes, you're slandering. But I belong to the Lord. I belong to God. Know that God has set apart the godly for himself. What an expression of confidence this is. And let's remember, if we find ourselves in such a situation, brothers and sisters, that we're attacked or going through some such difficulty, remember your relationship to God. Remember that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and he hears the prayers of his people. Yes, things may be going badly, but remember what the Word of God says, that you have been set apart by the Lord, and he hears you when you call to him. He hears us when we call upon his name. The attacks might come. The difficult times may come. In this present world, that is the way of things. But as the people of God, we belong to the Lord. He has set us apart. He has set us apart in his covenant of love and friendship and communion that he has established with us. We belong to him. We belong to him. We belong to his son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for our sins. And given that reality, what can man really do to us? People may attack, but we, the people of God, belong to the Lord our God. He is on our side. He is our friend and our shield. And so in the face of these attacks, David reminds the enemies he belongs to God. Well, that brings us then to the third thing we're going to see together. In the third place, we have here a message of encouragement to the faithful. So he's just spoken to his adversaries. Now in the next part of the psalm, he addresses the faithful. What are God's people to do when they face such things? Verse 4, David says, "In your anger, do not sin when you're on your beds." So what are we not to do when someone wrongs us? David says, don't sin. You might be angry. You might be hurt. When someone does something like this to you, there may be a sense of righteous indignation. But don't respond with sin. Don't return evil for evil. You can respond, but not in a way that is sinful. Not in a way that is sinful. Now, is this easy? No, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that it's easy. We all have a sinful nature. And when someone hurts us or harms us, what is a very natural response? Well, it's a very natural response to want to respond by getting back at them, isn't it? Very easy to want to return evil for evil. That's natural for a person with a sinful nature. That's not hard for us. I mean, think of children. When a small child does something cruel to their brother or their sister, is it easy for that brother or sister who has been attacked to respond in a godly and gracious manner? No. When a child is attacked by their brother and sister, what do they want to do? They naturally want to do what? Retaliate. They want to retaliate, and that's very easy. That comes very naturally for us. Turning the other cheek, responding to such things in a godly manner, that is hard for us because of our sinful nature. For sinners, retaliation comes very easily. We see that with children. But of course, we also have those same struggles as well. When people attack us, it's very easy to be bitter and also to want to do something in kind to them. That's the way of the old sinful nature that we have inherited in Adam. But the Bible warns us not to follow down that path. It says, don't respond with sin. Regardless of what that person has done to you, they may have slandered you, they may have maligned you, they may have hurt you, but don't sin back. Does that mean I ignore it? No, you can respond, but not in a way that dishonors the Lord. In many cases, a situation will need to be addressed, but don't sin. There are times when a person will need to be confronted. You need to confront the person that has wronged you. And there are godly and Christ-honoring ways to do that. But the point is that if you're being attacked and slandered, don't allow those attacks to become the reason for your own downfall. Don't let the sin of others cause you to fall. Don't let their sin be the reason for your own sin. Yes, it seems wrong what has happened to you, but don't return evil for evil. Don't be consumed by this so that you too fall into sin. Be angry and do not sin. Well, what should we do? Well, listen to what David says here further on. He says in verse 4, "Search your hearts and be silent." In the ESV translation, it says, "Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent." In other words, David's saying, go home and calmly reflect upon it and pray about it. When someone harms you or lies about you, don't immediately react. Don't be too quick to respond, lest you respond in a sinful way. Rather, go home and ponder these things and seek the Lord in prayer. And so when someone attacks you, you might go and read your Bible and meditate upon the Word of God. Maybe you go to the Psalms and you reflect upon the hardships that David experienced and how he sought the Lord in his prayer. Maybe you reflect upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was frequently attacked and who said that we too could expect to suffer. Maybe you look to the promises of God and you remember God's faithfulness to his people. And you pray and you bring your need to God. And you pray for God to guide you in your response. So that's David's advice here. That's his encouragement to the faithful in this psalm. And that brings me then to the final thing we're going to see this morning. And that is that David proclaims his trust in the Lord. He proclaims his trust in the Lord. Remember at the beginning of the psalm, David addressed the Lord. Then we see him addressing the adversaries. Then he encourages the faithful. And now in the last part of the psalm, David speaks directly to the Lord, expressing faith and confidence. And listen to these verses. Verse 6, he says, many are asking, who can show us any good? And he says, let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Let your face shine upon us. Lift your countenance upon us. Now, what do those words remind you of? I think it reminds us of the blessing that was given by the priests in Israel, the blessing that was appointed by Moses in Numbers chapter 6, which of course I still use in the worship service today and has continued to be used in the church today, where it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And here David expresses the desire that the Lord would continue to do so for his people. He says, let the light of your face shine upon us. Bless your people. He's saying, bless your people by continuing to allow the light of your face to shine upon us. It's a beautiful petition. And that is what we look for, of course, today as well. We look for God's face to shine upon us. That's the beautiful language of the covenant. That's the language of the intimate relationship and friendship that the Lord has with his people. He makes his face to shine upon us, and we behold his glory. Or to put it in the language of the New Testament, we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful description of God's love for his people, of his intimacy with his people, and that is what we want. We want the Lord to lift his countenance upon us. We want to behold his glory in Jesus Christ. We want that. We want that in the church. What else does David say to the Lord at the end of the psalm? Well, notice he speaks of the joy that God has given. Yes, he is suffering, but he also knows the joy in the Lord. He says, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. So he's suffering, he's being attacked, but he says, you filled me with joy. He is joyful even in the midst. He indicates that others may seem to prosper, others may have their grain and their wine, and at times it does seem that the enemies of God's people are prospering and doing well. But for the person that God has set apart, there's more joy. The world may have many things, but we have more joy. We get true joy. And then there's one final thing that David says to God at the end of the psalm. He says in verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace. So notice, all these people are coming after him. All these people are attacking him, slandering him. And he's prayed to God, and what is the response? He can just go down to sleep in his bed in peace. For you, O Lord, alone make me dwell in safety. So what's he showing us here? No matter what attacks people may face, whatever attacks God's people may face, and no matter what trials may come upon us, there's a sense in which the believer is able to sleep in peace because we belong to God who makes us dwell in safety. Notice our safety and security, our comfort is not found elsewhere. Our peace is not found elsewhere. It is only in the Lord. And David sees this, and so he can go to sleep in peace, and so can we. That's David's faith. That's his confidence in the Lord in the face of all that he is facing. Yes, they're coming after him. Yes, they're attacking. But what are enemies when we belong to God, the God who loves his people and who is sovereign over every moment of our lives? We're absolutely secure in him. We can have peaceful sleep in him, the God who has set us apart. That's the peace that we have as the Lord's people. Let's remember that. In the midst of all that we may face, you can have joy and peace because you belong to the Lord who makes us to dwell in safety. Amen. Let's pray together. O holy and gracious Father, we thank you that we can hear your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that we would heed your word. Help us to recognize, O Lord, the seriousness of the words that we speak. And Father, we pray that as your people, if we find ourselves in a time of trouble or a time when we are upset by what someone has done to us, help us, O Lord, not to sin, but to pray and to find refuge and comfort in you, the Lord our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.